With Robinhood, not only can you trade individual stocks and ETFs, you can also seamlessly buy and sell crypto at low costs. Trade all in one place. Get started now on Robinhood.
Trading crypto involves significant risk. Crypto trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Crypto LLC. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services. Crypto held through Robinhood Crypto is not FDIC insured or SIPC protected. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Securities trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC, a registered broker-dealer.
Do you know what your partner's up to when you're away and they're all alone?
No. What?
They're listening to the Screw Podcast, of course.
What's that?
Sit back, relax, and listen.
And you're all gasmatics. You're all gasmatics. Sneaking in the back door with dirty magazines. So your mother wants to know what all the stains on the jeans. And you're all gasmatics.
Thanks for tuning in to the Screw Podcast with Felicia Rose and A-Love. What up, A-Love?
How you doing?
I'm okay. I'm just gonna start off the show with saying big trigger warning here for this show today. I want to start off by saying that anybody that has read about the most recent Vince McMahon allegations, I apologize that we're going to talk about it briefly, but I did want to discuss it here because I felt that we do have a decent amount of wrestling fans on here, and it's worth mentioning because it's such a big fucking deal. So for those of you that haven't heard, if it's something that is going to trigger you, I wouldn't go looking for the information. It's absolutely fucking heinous. Basically, this person that worked for, well, essentially this person that was actually living in the same, condo complex as Vince McMahon, she lost both of her parents, and she was kind of floundering with, you know, what to do work-wise and things like that, and somebody had introduced her to Vince, who then took her on staff, and it just was completely evil from there. Everything that this woman alleges is absolutely fucking disgusting. Vince essentially raped her, gang raped her, held her hostage, sex trafficked her, did, you know, basically the absolute worst, most disgusting things you can do to a non-consenting human being he did to her. And it sounds like there's evidence, and it looks like there's evidence. There's text message evidence, and not that I wouldn't believe her anyways. I always lean toward believing victims. I do believe in due process, but I also believe that it's very, very rare that victims, especially for somebody so fucking powerful, would come forward with false accusations, right? So,
well, and didn't this motherfucker already have things from, like, last year or something?
Yeah, he was already under investigation. He had to, like, give up his rights as, like, the WWE owner, and he, like, gave it over to Triple H and his daughter Stephanie, and, you know, they said that they couldn't find anything or whatever the nonsense was, but essentially,
because money is so good at burying
exactly
shit,
and
it?
That was the thing, is he has paid this girl, or was paying this girl, to not say anything and tried to have her.
Isn't this like a, isn't he also like a Trump friend?
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
this fucker.
Exactly.
This disgusting fucking dude.
It's always shit birds of a feather fucking flock together. And, you know, I just don't see this as anything but honesty at this point. It's a 67-page lawsuit. And I just can't admit, I can't fathom basically admitting being shit on for what.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That is what I said.
Yeah,
thought.
Like,
it was like defecation.
There's
and
so
like
many, you know, for every one of these, there's so many doubters. And, you know, listen, I'm not going to sit here and say that there haven't been false accusations against powerful men. That is a thing. But it's more often than not that it's swept under the rug, and actually it is real, and it's just that it goes away with money and power and silence. And so Not that that was up for debate. I don't believe in debating somebody's truth, but I do think that, you know, we should all stand, it, you know, in solidarity with this woman right now. That was a huge, huge, huge thing to do.
Absolutely. And who goes out there and says, oh yeah, this dude shit on me.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, as a matter of, like, exciting, like, attention grabbing. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, exactly. That's, you know, those are my thoughts. And I just, I'm pretty disgusted with seeing people online and saying, well, what, you don't believe in, you know, bringing this to court? And it's just like, fuck off, man. Like,
we can bring it to court, of course, and she deserves her day in court over it.
Right, and the thing is it's not going to criminal court anyways. It's going to civil court, and you know, there's a different, you know, level of having to find the truth in it, and there's a different level of, like, it's a completely different ball game, right? It's not like she is getting him prosecuted for rape. She is suing him for the trauma that she's endured after years of this nonsense. And I my heart goes out to this girl. I can't even fucking fathom the amount of pain she has been through, she is going through, and she will continue to go through with the you know, invention of the internet, unfortunately. Yeah. But, you know, most of us that are on the proper side of history are standing with her and believe her. And you know, if you or someone you know has been a victim of sexual abuse, sexual assault, sex trafficking, we will put the information below for the hotline. And, you know, our hearts are with you. And as a survivor myself, I just want to say that it takes so much courage to do what she did, or to even just speak your truth. You know, not even going forward with a court case, is that alone is so courageous. And, you know, my heart is with her and anybody else that's affected by awful fucking things that especially men of power partake in. It's just disgusting.
Yeah.
And, you know, WWE has a sordid history with handling rape. The, you know, there was Ashley Massaro, who was a wrestler, who ended up taking her own life, and she cited being fucking raped, like drugged and raped in Kuwait while she was over there for a WWE appearance for like a military thing. And basically Vince just told her, like, you don't want to ruin our reputation, do you? And made her fucking keep quiet about it. You know, there's just so much of this stuff that goes on, and especially in powerful companies that are, you know, male dominated, and it's disgusting, first of all. And it, you know, I hope that this starts to change the landscape and we start to move toward safer places in general for everybody to work. Men, women, non-binary, queer, straight, it doesn't fucking matter. Everybody should feel safe in their fucking workplace. And these people are already, you know, WWE employees are already, especially the wrestlers obviously, are putting their bodies on the line to begin with. And it's just, it's absolutely fucking vile. Well, that we're even having,
and
this
is on the back of like Netflix's huge WWE deal. What else happened this week? Oh yeah, Gerard Depardieu, the case against him was thrown out due to statute of limitations, which kind of sucks when those things happen. But, like, you know, this is still, and we've been saying this for years now, this is still in like an ever increasing avalanche. Fuck entertainment, what about like corporate America? Like, the Me Too moments of, like, you know, the world are yet to come. So, like, keep your fucking, I'm sick of hearing about this shit bullshit to yourself, because there's, you know, fucking between P. Diddy and all the shit that's, like, happened lately, like, that's just, like, probably a small slice of the entertainment world. What about the non-entertainment world, you know?
Well, and that's exactly what I'm thinking. I'm just like, this is just one person that decided to come forward under this huge company, that this could have been going on with tons of people forever. Just this one little company. Never mind all of the people that go to work every day and deal with this sort of stuff. All of the people that, you know, just living with this as their normal. This is not, this cannot, rape and sex trafficking and abuse cannot be the normal anymore. This, we need to lock up monsters. We need to get people help so that they don't become monsters, or they keep their monstrous ways at bay, if at all possible, right? Like, there is proof that there's no rehab for pedophiles, for example, and things like that. So it's just, there's so, there's just so much out there that we have to be scared of and worried about while just living our fucking day to day, man. It's just fucking disgusting.
Well, you know, starting a culture of consent that starts from a young age would be nice. I mean, not that we like have to keep beating this fucking drum, but we have to keep beating this drum.
We do.
So, not ironically, it's a terrible fucking word, terrible transition word. So yesterday, here on campus at the University of New Mexico, Albuquerque, we got a police alert. And this has been like a, I forget what the name of the act is, but like there's like some federal law that requires all these kind of reporting program protocols. And I think this happened after, was it the Virginia Tech shooting? One of those major horrible things that happened. And so, you know, this school has been under constant scrutiny over, you know, this kind of like reporting mechanism that they use, that it's many times not done correctly or timely or include any kind of the information it's supposed to. So lately they've been like really on it, I have to say, after they were called out. So unfortunately, yesterday we got an alert that a young man was raped by another man in the men's restroom here on campus.
Jesus Christ. Oh,
so like, you know, and you don't see this that often, you know, in terms of like, you know, even just those like two things put together, like man raped by another man, like, you know, and, you know, it, it caused all sorts of like, you know, conversation, obviously. And like, you know, we've talked tons about this many times before, like problems in queer culture and queer. And I'm going to say this, like, probably get a call from the university. College restrooms are kind of historically and infamously cruising grounds, either for college students, what they call it, under the stall action. If you go on the internet, you're going to see tons of like porn related to this concept and this idea. And, you know, the various foot tapping and like nonverbal signals that happen with like hookups happening in public restrooms, you know. So this building that it happened in is like notoriously all over the apps. Like, you will see people like post like, you know, cruising at Dwayne Smith or whatever the fuck it's called. Is it Dwayne Smith? Dwayne. It's Dwayne something Hall, which is like a big older like legacy building here on campus with like three floors, and like it hasn't been remodeled since like the 80s, and it has like three floors of restrooms that are have a reputation of being like cruisy or whatever. And so, you know, you see this and like, you know, and I've for years been like, this is some like I don't want, like, risky, I guess is the word, because you can get in all sorts of trouble for, like, public sex stuff in general. You know, in some states, you've got to be careful. They require you to register, like, yourself as a sex offender if you get caught, like, with your wang out in any kind of public spot. But it's a restroom, right? And, like, you know, and queer men have a complicated relationship with restrooms. I don't know how else to fucking say it. Like, and I don't, I'm not like trying, I'm not laughing because I'm belittling this. I'm laughing at myself because I realize like how much we don't talk about these things, that they're like unspoken, like things we know about the community that nobody fucking talks about on any real fucking level. And so I'm not surprised that this scenario happened, you know, and, you know, obviously I don't have a lot of details. I'm going after it. But again, to see that somebody reported this happening, you know, it's a huge, like, thing for a dude to like report it, even in this day and age to begin with. And it does make me wonder about, again, what levels of consent were misunderstood or didn't happen, or like what maybe something did start to happen and then somebody didn't want to do it anymore and the other person didn't agree to stop. These are all, I don't want to say like, because I call out some old school queer dudes for this once, like talking about these kind of scenarios as a rite of passage, right? Disgusting. And like, it shouldn't not, like rapey situations should not be a rite of passage for anyone.
Admit your fucking fetish or your paraphilia without admitting it, bro. You know, like, come on. You can absolutely act out your rape fantasy without actually hurting fucking anybody. It's consensual non-consent for a fucking reason, you know?
And you had sent me this thing earlier in the week, I think, about from another podcast. I'm not going to know all the name details, but like, if you feel free to bring it up, like, but they were discussing kind of like laws of engagement for orgies, right? Yeah. And like one of the guests on the show was, like, the question came up, like, you know, do you go through with it even if you're not interested? And I think the person said yes, like, kind of matter of factly. And I think that was honest, because I do think that that happens a lot, whether it be in bathhouses and in cruising grounds,
right,
and restrooms and like hookups.
How at orgies sometimes consent, especially in these queer spaces, consent is often just done with eyes. And the person asking the question said, so have you ever accidentally given consent with your eyes? And the person said,
right.
And then they said, well, what did you do? Did you revoke that consent? And he was like, no, I went through with it because I fucked up.
Right. God forbid you have an itch in your crotch at any cruising site in this country. That will be taken as like time to descend on you with full vulture-like intentions. because, like, it's not just eye contact. It's all these subtle gestures that, like, the coding of, like, years of, yes, closetedness and whatever have, like made happen, I guess. Like, you know, coming up, you know, and certainly there is something fascinating about all of the adaptations queer men have done to, like, you know, cruise and consent in like quiet spaces or spaces of which like we don't feel comfortable with the language of consent. That's gotta change like fucking yesterday, because A, we are not overwhelmingly in that position in queer culture anymore. And B, I have nothing wrong with cruising in the modern days. Many will say, I don't know why anybody does that anymore. We have Grindr, we have apps, we have bars, we have whatever. But it's okay for it to still be like a sexual thrill for you. It's not okay that we're still employing the same rules of engagement that we did in the 70s, 80s,
Absolutely.
90s. You know, we have to come up with like, and you know, and who is the we, right? Like, all those wonderful queer organizations that get millions of dollars are not picking up this cross to bear and educate anybody on. Hence, again, like, my issues with, like, who bears the cross of queer public health? Because it's not just a matter of not getting fag-bash and getting married and getting HIV care. These are the, like, subtle things that, like, young queer folks are, like, trying to navigate, of which 20, 30 years of activism still has not produced any fucking solutions or remedies for. And that is a shame.
Yeah.
You know, like, that budget can't be, like, diverted in any way to, like, work on, like, new social contracts within our community so we're not fucking raping each other by accident and or by purpose.
That's so true. That's so true.
You know, and I thought, you know, it was like, oh, you know, that orgy clip, you know, and it's something you ask almost any queer man, and it's like, I don't even know how, like, we shoulder it with little outrage or, like, a laughing, uncomfortable laugh, but it's not something we should have to go through or need to go through anymore. You know, this is not cool. This is not, you know, and all that aside, like, you know, and this is why I brought it up, it's a complicated scenario, but it connects to all of it. Like, this, like, rules of consent or no consent, like, we don't have anywhere in our culture applicable to males, females, anybody, of which encourages us to have consensual, communicating, like, involved conversations about sex and what we want to do or don't want to do with, like, our partners. And, like, somebody's gonna, like, we need to be working
Absolutely.
On that.
Absolutely.
It's bad enough that there's all this, like, still identity shame that goes on, you know, for multiple reasons, you know. And again, another thing, like, you can apply for legislative wins within, like, a community or within your social movement, but, like, we need some social wins too. We need things that work on developing, like, the social health of our community, not just, like, the legislative means for us to, like, connect our taxes.
Absolutely.
You know,
and like that, I mean, the once we don't know, we do not know the sexuality of the person that was raped, right? Like, this may have been nothing to do with cruising.
And it doesn't matter.
And it doesn't matter. It has, it's absolutely, my question is, would this have been reported if it was an older generation of person, right? Like, this is,
right.
And that's a piece of what you're talking about. I think that the younger generation is on a better path when it comes to understanding consent and having conversations. However, when we still have fucking Andrew Tates out there, you know, that those types of people holding a microphone, there is still a huge portion of the population that is not getting proper education, whether queer or not. It doesn't matter. There is a huge portion of the population that is taking their advice from people that are literally sex criminals. And it is, while in one hand it's like, okay, the kids are gonna be all right, like this young adult reported something that he absolutely should have reported. It shouldn't have happened, but I'm so proud that he reported it, right?
Absolutely.
And then in the same breath, there's, for every one of those people that absolutely understands consent and that he didn't give consent and it doesn't matter his sexuality, he still got sexually assaulted, there's still thousands of others that wouldn't report it and don't understand that is a problem. And, you know,
and we'll dig into that. Like, why not? Well, it's very similar to, like, the Vince McMahon reaction. There are going to be middle class white queer men that say, oh no, this is somebody who is the victim in this scenario, that is probably homophobic, didn't like an advance that was, I can hear all of it now, because that's why we didn't talk about, we never are comfortable as a community talking about queer people as perpetrators.
Right.
And I understand why, but that doesn't mean that they aren't,
right.
You know?
Right.
I know, like, we're still, and I do think this is still part of, like, a community shame issue, right? Like, if we're still having identity shame going on, then it becomes difficult to want to say that the community can do anything wrong, because we're still begging the heteronormative community for acceptance, which we do need to stop fucking doing. Like, I am really tired of, like, all the thank yous for, like, letting us through the door, or the nonstop arguments that go over Bible quotes. Fuck those people. We do not and should not be in a position where we're still arguing for our existence. We exist. We know that. Stop fucking wasting your breath on these people, because this is what happens. We end up in a situation where we're still shouldering the shame that they're imparting on us, and we can't admit that we have perpetrators in the community because we don't want to give ourselves a bad fucking name in front of the straight people. fuck you. Straight people are fucking horrible too.
Well, the problem is, if somebody's going to take one anecdotal situation and turn it into that's why we can't trust the fag.
Right. Well, that's why we can't have nice things.
That person is homophobic at their core, and they're right. just waiting for that one example to say, see. Like the mass shooter last year that I believe was either trans or non-binary.
Oh, right.
I can't remember what the exact specifics were, but it was there. It was everybody's fucking, you know, oh, that's the scapegoat. That's always, see, you can't trust the, and it's like, okay, and all of the other gajillion fucking cis white hetero
right.
men.
I mean, this should prove to you
aren't to blame, right?
Like, right. It should, if anything, prove how universally just fucking similar and human we are.
Exactly. Exactly.
There you go. We can be just as awful as you. Now can we get equality? Okay.
Exactly. 100%. Everybody, can we all get equality and then we can all have the same health care? We can all have mental health care and we can all get our fucking issues fixed and we can all, you know, have a fair shot at living a decent life so that maybe these deep, dark places our minds go to don't end up in these places. I'm not justifying it, for fuck's sake, but, like, you're killing a bunch of kids, there's something fucking wrong with you, right?
So, right.
It's right. The same conversations that always happen. We don't want anybody to think that this, you know, we don't want to look bad. Oh, I'm a woman in a male-dominated space, so I can't speak up and complain because I'm just another bitchy right. woman, you know? I understand where our brains go.
Right, or you can't be like...
to not speak up right. and not speak out, but... the people that are going to turn around and blame you anyways, they're the misogynists, they're the homophobes, they're the transphobes, that's who they are at their core, so it doesn't fucking matter, right? Like, it doesn't right. fucking truly matter that they are going to use you or this example or this anecdote as a scapegoat. That's,
right.
It's going to happen regardless. They're just literally waiting.
Well,
for
it goes with any, like, kind of identity politic tropes, right? The angry black woman, like, the, you know, the kind of, like... righteous rage of, like, you know, good meaning liberal white folks, like, all these things, like, people use that to, like, take the sting or the meaning out of what they're saying, right? It's another right. control tool. Like, we're going to create this kind of identity politic around you. So, like, everything you say is worthless, right? It's like
absolutely.
Such a wonderful
right.
tool of, like, the kind of power people in power to say, like, we
it's
don't,
just, it's
a, don't
it's
need
an
to draw attention
tool.
Absolutely,
it's oppression 100%, and it's deeply rooted in fucking, you know, colonizer fucking racism. Ugh. And that's where it goes, you know, that's where it lives. And and, you know, I'm proud of anybody that can speak up and come forward when this is still our climate.
Yeah.
And you're right. There needs to, we don't know the nuance. We do not know what the situation looked like, right? We
absolutely.
Do not know if this was just a person taking a piss that got violently fucking thrown into a stall and raped. We don't know if this was a person that tapped a foot and wanted to do kisses and then it turned into rape.
Right.
We don't know if this is somebody that gave consent and then revoked consent
right.
and then it was rape. We don't know those specifics, but any of those fucking scenarios are not okay. And it's not okay to justify it by saying, well, I went through that as a young queer
right.
man. That's nice. You were fucking sexually assaulted.
Right.
And maybe that's why you have issues around the conversation today. Maybe go to therapy and look deep inside of yourself, you fuck.
Well,
you know, like, I fucking cannot stand the justification of this kind of shit. Just because we're in a different fucking
right.
swath of sexuality, it doesn't fucking matter. There's still people out there that want to hurt you and or
right.
you want to
and,
hurt people.
And I will certainly, like, agree that, like, these men are learning from the same sources that heterosexual men have learned. I'm, like, heard the same lines. You're giving me blue balls. Like, you're such a fucking tease. There's no shame for queer men to use the same fucking, like, tactics that straight men use on women all the time. Like, it's the same language.
Right.
And it's still not acceptable.
Yeah, and unfortunately, our young queer, you know, folks in general are not given the same tools to understand that it's not okay regardless. This is not a fucking rite of passage. You do not have to be raped to be a queer boy. This isn't okay. That, like, cut it out, these fucking old, like,
yeah.
these old... you know, people see it a lot. Like, you know, we have, oh, it's just, you know, an old gay man teaching a younger gay man how to be a gay man. Oh, really? Is that what it is? And sometimes it's just innocently that, and that's okay. Yes, you're allowed to have older fucking right. friends and younger fucking friends. Sure. But are you fucking right. grooming them? Right. Is that yeah. what's going on?
Absolutely.
Because that's a
absolutely.
Conversation we need to fucking have. And this happens in fucking lesbian fucking culture too. And I don't want to hear that it doesn't. There is, I just saw the other day this disgusting TikTok couple where this girl, this, you know, girl and her fucking hope, you know, whatever she wants her to be. I don't know. They're in some kind of weird relationship. And it's the most toxic, like, literally. I was mortified. I was absolutely fucking mortified. And it's all like all of these, the words that the one in, you know, in control, if you will, are spewing is all this misogynistic fucking anti-woman nonsense. And it doesn't matter if does not matter what the relationship looks like gender wise. It can fucking happen because it's all learned from the patriarchy. And we all have horrible examples of how, oh, women want you to be rough with them and women want you to do women want to what you what they fucking ask for. They don't want you to fucking put it on that, you know.
Look, we've talked about this before. Women are not immune to like misogynistic like influences, right? Like we're like perpetuating them because we all learn them. Like your gender doesn't keep you from like perpetuating like misogyny, whether like
absolutely. When I was a teenager and I was on message boards, I knew what was presented in front of me. I didn't have gender studies class. I didn't understand what the fuck I was saying. I said some nonsense online. Mm-hmm. I said some anti-woman nonsense. Meanwhile, I'm sitting there going, girl crew, I love my girlfriends. I like women. I didn't know what I was doing. I was also 14 years fucking old. But the point is that nobody is immune to this. Even if at the core of yourself, you think that you're a great person, it doesn't mean that you haven't learned from those around you. And what's around you? The fucking patriarchy. So you got to unlearn that behavior. You have to unpack it, unlearn it. And you have to look at everything in the same lens that nothing right. is immune from anything. Well, there is a possibility for everything and everybody to be just as shitty as
absolutely. We have to unlearn it together. Like, there's no siloing on these things. Like, it's not men need to learn about consent and women will be safer. Or, you know, it's like we all have to learn about it. We all have to implore it together.
I cannot tell you how many stories I heard about, and then a girl was the lookout outside the door while this man raped me. This is not a one gender issue. This is a fucking humanity issue. Rape is a part of our culture, and until it truly isn't, you have to realize that everybody can be either a victim absolutely. Or a perpetrator, and you have to go about your understanding of it with that lens, because it's very unsafe and it's very impractical to think like, oh well, the younger generations they know about consent, so they're good. Yet what everybody yeah. knew about consent technically, just because we didn't have the conversations. That you know when something isn't right, you know when wait, I didn't say I wanted to do this, right? Like that's not what we're talking about here. Just because you know about it doesn't mean you're gonna do anything about it. There's still people that have been abused. There's still people that are born this way. There's still people that are fucked up. I don't know if it's genetic predisposition. I don't know if it's because you're fucking, you know, you went through it yourself. Whatever it is that leads you down the road to being a fucking perp does not, you know,
it couldn't.
It's still out there. It didn't cleanse the world of our shitty uncles that touched us. We didn't cleanse the world of whatever gene pool that created rapists.
Part of it might be our government is like the world's biggest perpetrator. look at the perpetration right. that's committing right now. You know, like, and I'm saying this tongue in cheek, but I'm not. We're a culture of war. We are one of the hugest imperialist powers that ever has been. We have great examples that if we want to subjugate somebody, we just pull out our fucking gun and smack them with it. So, you know, that's one little inkling where some of this like really violent behavior may be embedded into our culture.
Absolutely.
our big daddy government loves to fucking wave its dick around all over the fucking world.
Look at just Roe v. Wade in general. Like that alone is a nice fucking fuck you to the rights of having control over your own body, right?
So. I'm so happy you brought that up, not in a like happy way. So, this is so first of all, just to smooth this, like this is a topic. If you have a sex podcast and you're not talking about consent as part of your conversation about sex, shame on you. You're not a real fucking sex podcast. Because you can offer a million tips on how to put the chocolate dust on the tip of the fucking dick or the honey on the fucking nipples. If you're not talking about how we don't know how to fucking talk to each other about fucking sex, you are a shitty fucking sex podcast. So sorry if today doesn't give you a fucking boner in the way that it should. But that has to be a part
of
this conversation.
Thank you for bringing that up, because I was looking through a lot of the podcasts that were AVN Award nominated this year, and I was just like, a lot of this is people, it's essentially voice memo literatica, people telling their stories about naughty, dirty things that they've done. Yay, fun. I love that for them, right? Like, I'm a listener. I like to listen to the stories. I like to read the stories. I like to give the stories. I like to write the stories. But at the same time, you are not a well-rounded podcast if you don't take time out to talk about things like consent. Because these are the most important. There's nothing sexier than having resounding consent about this act that you're about to do. And then
absolutely
asking for consent throughout the act. There's nothing fucking hotter, and that is sex. To me, sex
absolutely
is saying yes, yes, yes the whole fucking time. And if you like to play with consent, non-consent, it's no, 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 but we have a safe word, right? Like, I get so grossed out when there's so much of, you know, the topic without any of the practical, you know, practical.
Absolutely.
Like, you need to be able to discuss how this all goes down.
Well, because one is like porn world version of what sex is,
right,
and the other is real life version of what sex is. Right. We can all share our little stories for people's titillation. Great. But what does it mean in far as like improving real life individual sexual encounters? And that's not happening by just sharing sex fantasies, because on one level, that means everybody comes in with this very one-sided version of how like sex should play out, either pertaining to their fantasy or whatever made them excited the last time they tapped into one of those resources, whether it be porn or an erotic podcast or whatever. Like, you know, I still look at our numbers, and us reading Literotica is still our biggest download. Cool.
Right.
But, like, we're able to read Literotica, perform it, and enjoy it because we have a healthy kind of idea of what it means to fuck. And you need to have that, too. Otherwise, your reading and engaging in all these other things is really just perpetuating more of like non-consensual culture, because nobody meets somebody in a room and just starts sucking their dick.
Right.
You know, so we just keep talking about every time we see these gay sex scenes, like, where was the discussion about ass cleaning or anything? Like, he was just butt fuck ready, like right then. Wow, that's a fucking phenomenal.
It's funny that you mentioned that. I had a a session the other day with somebody, a little text session, whatever, sex session, I guess. And, and we did, you know, we went into the fantasy world of like, and then he's gonna, you know, like, it basically it was me, what's the word for it, like basically me being in control over the situation and telling one man what to do with another man. That was the whole thing.
Okay.
And I find myself, people often are attracted to me in that way. They want me to be like their mother dominant and come in and like, okay, now I'll help you guide his dick into your dick into his butt, you know, stuff like that. Anyway, so in my head, like, and of course, like, that we only had 30 minutes. We didn't have enough time to talk about butt cleaning or anything like that. And it's sexting, you know, I'm allowed right. to, like, you know, we can skip over that part. But literally in my head, all I was thinking was, well, this was such a random scenario. Somebody wasn't right. prepped for this.
You know? Exactly.
Listen, I have had, you know, a spontaneous butt sex before, and it went well. Okay, but it's fucking rare. That is a rare occasion that your butt is just yeah. ready to go.
You're so usually crossing the fuck out of your fingers, being like, oh.
Yeah, like it's so funny.
I hope I was right.
Because I am so far removed from that young, animalistic spontaneity of sex, like that, you know, your 20-year-old right. libido has that, like,
sure.
The first thing I think of when I'm about to do any kind of sexual activity is, like, are the undernails of their fingers clean? Or, like, right. right. what is the ball scent gonna be? Or, like, what?
So, okay.
Luckily, so I'm in a situation where that is not an issue, but my point being that, like, even if I wanted to do spontaneous anything, I can't, because I am so, like, OCD that it's like, no, this has to be a tiny bit planned. Sorry.
No, for sure. I mean, like, fuck, just like that. Like, I mean, busy people, like, if you in the real advice category, I always used to get, like, totally bummed out when people were like, as you get older, you have to plan for sex, you know, otherwise it won't happen. And I mean, it kind of sucks, but it's kind of fucking true.
Yeah.
You know, like, I love spontaneity, and luckily, like, the wind blows and I still am horny. Sure. But, like, yeah. you know, the wind may blow and I may still be horny, but, like, I may be on my way to 47 different things that I can't just, like, cancel, you know? Right. So, like, you know, being kind of, like, deliberate, especially when you have partners that you've, like, started, you know, sexual relationships with, like, you do kind of have to talk about. I mean, I remember being in my 20s and somebody would be like, are you free tomorrow night at 11? I'm like, fuck, tomorrow? What? No. Like, I mean, I'm ready right the fuck now.
Right, right.
What the fuck are you talking tomorrow at 11? You're trying to date book me?
But I remember those days. I remember those days, you know? And, like, I had sex recently and it was really good and
beautiful.
It was planned. It was scheduled. It was planned, but it was nice because of that, right?
Yeah.
Everything I wanted and more. And there was, even though I did not need, technically, because it was planned and it was like, I technically didn't need to ask for consent. It was still a consent based situation, you know?
Well, and consent works.
Can I suck your dick?
Yeah, beautiful.
Do you want me to suck your dick? I kept sucking it. Do you want me to keep going? Yeah, this feels good. All right, that's fucking hot
Fuck
to me.
Yes.
Like, yeah, let me be verbal with you. I don't have to say, oh, suck my slimy pussy. I mean, if that's your thing, fine. But, like, I like being verbal in that way where it's like, does that feel good? Should I keep going? Like, that's hot, you know?
And I know some people don't like, there's, like, a perceived stress around performance. Like, the way I usually sure. handle this is, like, hey, we got a few free hours, like, Friday, Saturday night, Monday morning, whatever. No pressure, but, like,
yeah.
let's set ourselves up for a situation where, you know, maybe I'm cleaning this pussy for you. You know what I'm saying? You know? And, like, at least, like, you're laying down the thing, like, let's be intentional about it. But, like, you shouldn't be, pressuring your partner either. It's, like,
no.
let's talk about this.
Sometimes, absolutely. You know, what happens with that is, like, okay, well, I'm not going to eat a second bowl of pasta today.
right, exactly. Right? Like, no McDonald's, okay? Like,
before I'm in doggy style,
exactly.
Right? Like, maybe I'm not going to eat the beans today. Maybe I'll eat, you know, a nice fruit dish instead. Maybe I'll wait until after.
Popcorn is the worst, let me tell you. No popcorn.
Wait, what'd you say?
I said popcorn is the worst. Like, I always
there
need, like,
you go.
A heads up.
There,
like,
you go.
Are we fucking? Because, like, I'm going to eat this popcorn. Because if I eat
right,
this popcorn.
Like, sometimes it's a matter of, like, yo, any chance we're going to do the ditty? No, right, I'm going to eat the garlic. sauce because I'm allergic to garlic, but I'm gonna eat it.
Oh my god! Yeah,
you in the morning.
The
you
one
know?
Thing
it's
I
like that kind of
I can't
stuff.
Take is like my partner loves to torture me with like pickle kisses, like surprise, like surprise, like because I hate fucking pickles. I fucking hate it. Like, and it's funny because like now like oh he comes up to get and you're like oh it's so cute and then I'm like wait a minute. Wait a minute. Did you just open a pickle? Get the fuck out of here. Not doing
See,
it.
See, like, that's adorable, though. Like, I think it's fun to, like, pick on your partner
Absolutely.
With the fucking things that you don't like or whatever.
For
but
sure.
Yeah, but it's, like, it's that, it's, I don't know, there is, there's levels to this shit, there's ages, there's age stuff involved, there's
Absolutely.
All sorts of stuff involved, but I think that, I think we can all overwhelmingly agree that when we're all prepared for especially if you're going an anal route
uh-huh.
like this is not an
if you're
easy,
going the anal route
if you're
but.
Going the anal route like listen if you're just mutually jacking off or you're sucking each other off
yeah there's degrees to this right like
you're doing rim play yeah. like that's all fucking that's stuff that you can do typically
But
and
this
sure.
is where communication happens. Like I hear all the time, like, you know, I didn't feel comfortable telling him like I wasn't ready, like so I just like canceled the scenario altogether. Like
Yeah, or I wasn't sure and I was scared and then I ended up shitting on his deck. Like, okay.
right.
And
yeah,
you know,
either scenario.
Listen, shit happens, right? That this is not, let's not be fucking 6 years
right.
old. We all understand that shit can
yeah.
happen even if you were prepared,
Absolutely.
Right? Sometimes you don't know where that food you ate earlier is in your digestive
right.
tract, okay? However, if you want to prevent, if you're not into
I wonder how many corpophiliacs actually listen to this fucking podcast.
Yeah, probably a lot. Shit a lot. But if you aren't into that and you're trying to prevent it as much as possible, then it is nice to have a little bit of a dialogue. And it's okay to say, listen, you know, on my way over, I was really hungry and I ate something and it's not feeling so great. You want to just do some, you know, hand stuff, some mouth stuff instead, whatever. It's okay to
yeah.
be honest. Like, don't you want to prevent that? It's like, it would be like if I thought I was getting my period, but I wasn't sure it just went through with anyways. And then the person's like, well, I have your biohazard on
yeah.
my dick now. Like, it's you know, there's conversations to be had and it's
your
better
biohazard on my dick now.
Listen,
that is wow. Mm-hmm.
I used to be such a just fuck me anyways, but like, you know, this isn't it is biohazard. This is literally stuff that's coming out of you for a reason.
Yeah.
This isn't just like, you know, and I still want to get fucked in my period, but I also am 100% understanding if somebody is like, no.
Yeah, because that shit could end up looking
no,
like an
no,
accident scene. Anyway.
Oh my god, remember that hotel?
I
that
do.
So
I'm
funny.
Surprised like
god.
The police weren't called, but you know. What can you do?
Well, yeah, they did check it out. You remember they called?
Did somebody die? Was somebody murdered in that room?
Yeah, they literally called my phone and they were like, is everything good? I'm like, yeah.
I love our lives sometimes. I know this is probably like the strangest conversation ever, but before we go, I did want to like connect back to your Roe v. Wade comment. That's what I like.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
You know, New Mexico is like, you know, when all these states like started going like south with the Roe v. Wade shit, right? Namely, like our asshole big brother next door, Texas. New Mexico kind of doubled down on all of these like abortion rights stuff. They started putting things like in writing very clearly, like putting money aside to like increase the number of clinics and providers we have here because of like the numbers were already going up, right? In terms of people that were seeking like safe abortion access in the state of New Mexico. So I'm saying this as like a prep for like this very like, so this is a battleground state with the religious Christian factions that like preside. So in Colorado, we have the Family Research Council right up north, which is like a horrendous like right-wing Christian bullshit, nasty anti-fag, anti-dyke organization, anti-trans organization. Fuck them. May they fucking burn in the hells that they say are coming upon us. But that being said, there is a lot of, like, what is perceived as, like, nice Christianity here in New Mexico. They show up at the pride parades and they're like, we love you, and they have like little pride flags like at their little, you know, Christian organization things, which is all fine and fucking dandy and good for fucking you. However, there's always this conversation that never happens out loud enough here about how traumatizing Christianity especially has been to many queer folk. And there are things that happen here that are done, well, you know, they're nice. They're nice Christians. They're not going to, like, hate you because you're queer. They're going to love... I don't care. We live in a fucking world where religion is a violent thing. It's a violent thing. Mm-hmm. It's violent. It causes violence. It causes oppression. And it's used to perpetuate violence and oppression against other religions, other identities. Like, it's some horrifically fucking passe old school shit. Sorry, if you're religious, you're just gonna have to fucking swallow this one. Because this is some fucking dark ages shit that people still believe in. My opinion, fine.
I think if I were to be a guessing woman, I think the only people we have that follow us here are more spiritual.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for that. Like
institutionally religious.
Absolutely. I'd appreciate it if you love the water, the air, and the shit we fucking breathe and take in a little bit more. So I support any kind of spirituality that endorses the sacredness of this big biome we live on together. Outside of that... fuck all you fucking pie in the sky fucking invisible fucking beings casting judgment against everybody. Like, fuck you and fuck that. So I say this because I, to like epic proportions, and like not being dramatic, I promise, I reside at a public university. Public means taxpayer money funds this institution I go to, on top of my tuition. And I constantly am inundated with fucking Bible thumpers fucking harassing me everywhere on this fucking campus. And I get it, free speech, blah, blah, blah. But something about this is starting to really smell fucking sour and fucking nasty, especially in the age that we live in. You know, being able to, like, bombard me, and this goes from my rant from, like, I took the shuttle bus to school today and had to endure a 15-minute listen of, like, the local Christian radio station on my public taxpayer fucking bus to my public institution during a time where Roe v. Wade has been, like, dismantled and there's religious wars happening in the Middle East. Like, this is some fucking nasty-ass fucking shit, right? Like... and I don't want to have to endure it anymore. And I think it's something, like, people need to be a little bit more fierce about. Like, these, like, attitudes are what are dismantling women's rights over their body. It's a tool of the power structure to control people, sure, blah, 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 blah. But one of their vehicles of doing this is this, like, religious extremism. So you... mm-hmm. College students listening do not have to put up with this, especially at a public university. You should definitely report people because it is an impressive subliminal-ish kind of technique to put other people's fucking belief systems on you. And it should not be something we go softly into the night. It is not a free speech issue. It is like a belief issue which you are entitled to do to your fucking self within your fucking community that believes the same, but I do not have to endure it being put on fucking me. It's not cool.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. No, I mean, no, like, that's everything you said. It's so true. And I think that, you know, we are in this time where everything is either going extremely backwards or progressively forwards, and you need to speak up for not only yourselves, but for the people around you.
I mean, this is when that, like, righteous liberal rage would be, like, a really good use to be, like, can we take that, like... I complain to management thing and apply it to things like a little bit more important. Like, I want to speak to your manager about this fucking oppressive nonsense. And yes, it is oppressive by nature. I like will not accept like a discourse argument about this. Like, you're really bizarre to me, and the modern like culture beliefs are not something I have to listen to. Like, what are you gonna tell me to take like a sip of the Kool-Aid next? Like, no. Anything that believes in unidentifiable beings controlling and judging us in like our afterlife is nonsense. And I'm like getting to the point where, like, you know, we need to think about the mental health of people that still believe that. So,
you know what's funny is I was actually talking to a friend the other day who actually listens to this podcast. So shout out to you. You know who you are. And he was telling me, I had this moment where I went to a wake recently and it was for a woman that reminded me so much of my grandmother. Like, I'm talking, her name was similar. She was very Italian. She cooked food every fucking goddamn other day and I could smell it. It was just, she was fucking a badass woman. She was so sweet, so nice. Everybody on the fucking street knew her. Like, she was just awesome. And she very much reminded me of my Nana. And so I go to her wake and I, you know, I go into the chapel. I do the pretend like I'm saying prayers and all that shit. And because I'm, listen, I don't care. If I
absolutely.
Your space, I'm going to act
for sure.
You know, like, I'm not, if I'm holding the wake, we're having a party. If you're holding the wake, I'm going in, I'm getting on my knees. I'm saying the prayer. I'm doing the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I'm saying a fucking Hail Mary and Our Father, whatever, you know. I'm
No.
I grew up Catholic.
Old habits die hard.
You know,
dude, I went into like a historic church the other day and crossed myself. Like, I had to grab my arm. Like, I'm looking for the holy water. I'm like, and the whoa, fuck! I forgot. Like, I did like should have told my partner to take his hat off. Somebody had to come and tell us. Like, oops.
Right, right. Like those.
I was waiting to turn into a pillar of salt, yo. Just.
I'm not going into your space and doing something that I'm not supposed to be doing, right? So anyways, I walk out after and I look to of the little chapel they held it in, and I look to the left and I goddamn almost fucking fell on the floor. There is a statue of Orfanello, who, look it up if you don't know, but it's this little like cherub with an apple in its hand, and it's the same motherfucking statue. The same one. I'm talking the same fucking size, shape, fucking everything. And it's a big, big one, mind you, that my fucking Nana had in her house growing up. I've never seen an Orfanello statue anywhere fucking else in my life, aside from walking out of this woman who reminded me of my Nana, and I see the statue. And I'm telling my friend about this, and he's like, that's you'll always remember that moment. I'm like, you're right, I fucking will. And in my head, and I tell my cousin, and my cousin's like, isn't it crazy, like our family reaches out to us and tells us that they're still with us? And I also understand science and coincidence, you know what I'm saying? But for me, I like to take comfort. That was my Nana saying hello, right? That was a sweet moment. And it doesn't need to mean that I'm fucking this religion,
like, look,
or that religion.
I mean,
is up
annoyed as I am, I'm not talking about, like, again, and I'm not knocking a personal belief system. I'm knocking a institutional belief system that like seeks to impart itself on everybody that walks by. You know?
Absolutely. And you know what's funny is my friend and I continued talking, and I was like, I didn't know if you were religious, and he was like, yeah, I lean toward Catholicism, et cetera, et cetera. And then I talked about how there was, you know, people were speculating that it could have been suicide, and then I was like, well, I'm pretty sure she was super religious, so she wouldn't believe she would go to heaven with that. And then he was telling me, he was like, I read this thing recently that basically says like hell is a ridiculous concept, and that no real God would ever, you know, send people, like, the idea of hell doesn't actually make sense within religion. It's literally just a concept to scare you. It's the same nonsense that holds fucking people down. It's the same nonsense that tries to keep people in line from doing this and doing that and making their own choices. Well, and you can't be gay and you can't do this and you can't do that. And it's true. If you believe in religion, then you should believe that no true and pure God would ever sentence you to eternal fucking flames as a human being because you didn't do something according to the laws.
I mean, you know,
fuck that shit, you know?
You know what you're bringing up is actually really interesting because we talk about it in, like, this public health stuff all the time, right? Like, the idea of, like, punitive enforcement, right? So I don't know, like, if you remember or know too much about the law in Portland, Oregon, that I think it was in 2020 made decriminalize all illicit drugs. And, you know, this was done as part of, like, a harm reduction thing, which is shown historically to be much more useful than just incarcerating people with drug and substance use, like, stuff going on. So because it was, like, rolled out poorly, it's now facing a repeal. So basically the way they did it is they appropriated all these funds that looked really good on paper, you know, for substance use, you know, treatment and counseling and behavioral health services. But they took too long to ramp up the staff and the services needed to handle. So they basically, the money was appropriated and the law went into effect and they ended up with a 7,000 patient backlog, right? So basically everybody is looking at it now in 2023 and saying this program has failed, we should repeal it, right? And go back to, because people are seeing, you know, homeless people on the streets using drugs, so they don't want to see that because good and proper people would rather you be in jail than get the help you need, right? So it's this punitive versus, like, kind of positive reinforcement kind of thing. Like, we love to, like, punish people for things, like, like hell-wise, to inspire them to behave well, even though we know after many, many failed decades of the Don't Do Drugs campaign that, like, punitive and, like, parental and, like, aggressive authoritarian approaches to behavior change don't work, and they don't take in the broader picture of the other, you know, social and economic issues that people have going in their lives that bring them to these spaces.
It's the same thing as the, I can't even remember what city it is, but some city's going to fine people for sleeping outside. I'm like, you're going to fine homeless people for sleeping outside? You're literally doing nothing to fucking help anybody. You're doing the exact opposite of what historically.
And then when they can't pay that fine, what is the restitution? Imprisonment? Like, you know, this is, like, kind of debtor's prison, which, again, is alive and well in certain states of this country. If you think some of this shit is bullshit, look it up. There are still debtor's prisons in this country. You can, like, be thrown into jail just for being poor and not having resources. So this is a very real thing.
It's fucking disgusting. We have more people in our fucking, more people incarcerated in jail and prison than fucking anywhere in the world. Disgusting. And, you know, it's absolutely, like, fucking disgusting.
And just ties into, like, one last thing, like, I wanted to bring up. So, you know, I don't know if you, you know, read a lot or pay attention a lot to all these, like, fentanyl related deaths or whatever. So recently,
yeah, we just lost fucking Jesse Jane, and I don't know if it was fentanyl, but we lost Jesse Jane to overdose yesterday. So
So it's hard to kind of keep up, but, like, and oh gosh, I'm forgetting the community that this happened in, but, like, two white male middle class business owners, pillars of their queer community, died of a fentanyl overdose recently. And obviously that's sad. I'm not, like, putting critique to that, but I am putting critique to the way the article was structured. When you read these things, usually, especially about black and brown people, they do not have this, like tone. Like, there was no conversation within the thing other than, like, the community has all rallied and they're now having Narcan trainings and stuff at the queer bars in the neighborhood so this tragedy doesn't happen again. this was like, it just stuck out with me so much because like nowhere in it was a conversation about the substance use issues these two gentlemen clearly had in behind the scenes that nobody in the community seemed to know about or appreciate or like even critique, you know? And I'm not saying they should be shamed for having used substances. I'm saying it is very funny and interesting the way we talk about certain people when these tragedies happen versus like when it's white folks that these tragedies happen to. It is very reminiscent of this like, you know, thing now that we have that like methamphetamine use is not like a white queer male problem anymore. It's like a black and brown queer male problem and nobody cares about it and nobody talks about it. You know, and I just like, you know, when we're talking about like thinking and paying attention to privilege and paying attention to the way like we talk about these things, these are like the examples. Like, you can't pick and choose like who is a saint or a sinner based on like their color of their skin. And that is happening all the time. And I'm not saying these two men should have been painted as a sinner. That's not why I'm saying it. I'm saying it's a contrast to things you see written about other individuals that don't look like these two men or don't have like access and privilege to like being local business owners or whatever the fuck, you know? Like they're basically like seemed like a sainthood. The article didn't talk about their sub other than saying they both had a fentanyl overdose. It had no discussion about the fact that they had a fentanyl overdose. There is no discussion about, like, you know, other than, like, oh, well, we should start training community on... Yeah, I agree. Everybody in the community should be trained on Narcan. It's fucking easy to administer, you know? Like, absolutely, this is low-hanging fruit. But, like, how about talking about why they ended up finding themselves dabbling with fentanyl to begin with?
No, it's so fucking true. It's you know, we always depends on who we're talking about and how, and that is how we talk about it, and it's absolutely so tone deaf and one-sided, and it's really sad because people are losing their fucking lives for things that can absolutely be avoided with harm reduction, absolutely be avoided, and with having actual honest conversations being like, you know, blind to comparatively the,
and this is not apples and apples, but I'm just gonna state it this way. I don't know if you read about the man they found cut up in somebody's refrigerator in New York City, right? So apparently there's like this drug deal gone bad or whatever between like two dudes fighting over drugs. One, a white gentleman. I'm not really a gentleman. who's in prison already, mind you. He's been in prison for a while. They only discovered this body situation currently. And here is the, like, gist of the drama of the tale. The man that was cut up in the freezer was a black man. And everybody in the apartment building seemed to know, and in their interview accounts, know that he was cut up in that freezer, that he went into that house a while ago, a long while ago, and never came out. And most of the justification of this is that he was a convicted sex offender in 2005. Okay, fine. But the man that chopped him up is also in prison. We're not talking about like two upstanding like citizens in society.
Right, like Bruce Wayne didn't get
so you're somehow telling me that this individual, just because of like what the crimes committed, deserved to be caught up and put in a freezer. Now, mind you, he had already served time for this crime, no matter how heinous it was. And this is where I like get concerned about us leaving that very libertarian idea of leaving society up to being judge and jury, because all those prejudices that come in, these two fuckers are both slimy motherfuckers, but it doesn't,
Yeah, this, it's not an even playing field when you talk about human, like, general society.
It's kind of like the kind of moral ambiguity. I was thinking of it too about like the Griselda's family suing Sofia Vergara over this new Netflix thing. And, you know, you're listening to the son. I'm like, I'm sorry. Is the argument, because he keeps saying that Netflix and Sofia didn't respect him and the family. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but your mom was a murderous drug dealer. What level of respect are you going for here? Like, she was like a brutal drug kingpin. And you want a piece of the pie. You want to make money over her, you know. And I'm not saying any, you know, it's not wonderful that Sofia is making money off of a, like, brutal drug kingpin either. But, like, what? And, like, nobody in any of these articles about this is like saying, yeah, but your mom was a hideous human. Like, what is the argument you're making here that you're suing because, like, you weren't respected? The family wasn't respected. What exactly? I know you personally didn't do it, but, like, you know what we're talking about here, right? It's like,
I also, the thing with the guy in the freezer, like, how many black men no doubt. Are wrongfully convicted a year, too? Like,
sure.
I'm not saying the guy didn't do it, and I'm not saying that, you know, sex offenders aren't the lowest form of scum, but also, how many people are behind bars that didn't actually do the fucking crime, right? So it's like, it becomes, like, that muddy water of, like,
didn't one just win and get on city council in New York from the Central Park fight? Yeah, so.
Yeah, I mean,
again, it's just, it's the nature of how, like, these things are written. If it's about a black perpetrator or a black addict or, you know, like, you get these, like, horrible editorials that are written. And then when it's a white person, it's like, I mean, we know this already ad nauseum, like, from every, like, fucking young white serial killer / rapist that, like, the judge is like, we don't want to ruin his life. You know, we're compared, like, minimum sentencing, throw away the key, you know, or maximum sentencing. So, yeah. See, this was a fun, I figured, like, the screw is always fun if we hit sex, religion, politics, murder, mayhem.
Murder.
This is the most exciting podcast you can be listening to right now. So subscribe. And what is it they always say on those? Slam that subscribe button. Shit.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a listener and you don't subscribe, please do. That helps us a ton. And listen to us whenever we drop a podcast, which
that's
is whenever
right.
we want.
I'm dropping this shit ASAP, though. It's, like, pertinent to, like, shit going on right now. Yeah, so this shit is coming
very
out
topical,
tonight.
Yeah.
You're going to, like,
absolutely.
Get practically a live screw podcast today. So, I know. Wow.
Oh, wow.
This
oh,
is where
wow.
we need sound effects. Like,
yeah, if you listen tonight, I don't know if I'm gonna do this actually. I'm kind of on the fence, but I'm supposed to be doing a topless watch along for Royal Rumble on Saturday, so tune in on my OnlyFans. And if I don't do it, I will make up for it. It's honestly, I feel so fucking weird about the shit that just came out, but at the same time, I'm like, you know, it's not gonna affect people watching the Royal Rumble.
Exactly.
So, you know, we'll see.